بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم، الحمد لله رب العالمين، وصلى الله وسلم وبارك على المبعوث رحمة للعالمين نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. يسرنا أيها الإخوة في الله نرحب بفضيلة الشيخ صلاح كنتوش حفظه الله تعالى، الذي سيواصل معنا في هذا الدرس الأسبوعي شرح أصول إلامية شيخ الإسلام ابن تيمية رحمه الله. So it's a pleasure to have with us our noble Sheikh Salah Kantoush. May Allah bless and preserve him. We'll be continuing his weekly explanation of the Lamia, Sheikh Islam ibn Taymiyyah, rahimahullah. Fariya tafadla, Sheikhna mashkura majura.
Alhamdulillah wahdah. Sallallahu wa sallam wa barak ala nabihi wa abdih. Wa ala alihi wa ashabihi amma ba'd. Fa lazinna في قراءة هذه المنظومة المنسوبة إلى شيخ الإسلام ابن تيمية رحمه الله تعالى، وكنا في الدرس الماضي قد وقفنا على البيت الثالث، وهو قوله رحمه الله: حب الصحابة كلهم لي مذهب، ومودة القربى بها أتوسل. ثم قال بعدها: ولكلهم قدر على وفضائل، ولكلهم قدر على وفضائل، لكنما الصديق منهم أفضل. مراده رحمه الله بعد أن تكلم عن حب الصحابة وأن حبهم له مذهب ويتقرب إلى الله سبحانه وتعالى بهذا الأمر، فأبان في هذا البيت أن كل واحد منهم له قدر وله فضائل معلومة، وهم متفاوتون. قوله لكلهم قدر أي أنهم من ذوي المقدار، لكنهم متفاوتون رضي الله تعالى عنهم في هذه الرتب، إنهم متفاوتون في الرتب، فليسوا رضي الله تعالى عنهم بسواء. فمنهم العلماء الكبار، ومنهم من هم دون ذلك. فحتى قال ابن عمر رضي الله تعالى عنه كما في الصحيح: كنا نفاضل على عهد النبي صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وسلم، فنقول خير هذه الأمة بعد النبي أبو بكر، ثم عمر، ثم عثمان، فيبلغ ذلك النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم فلا ينكره. الحديث جاء في البخاري وكذلك في سنن الترمذي. وكما هو معلوم أيضا أن أهل بدر كانوا يفضلون على غيرهم، وأهل الشجرة أيضا كذلك يفضلون على غيرهم. وقد جاء ذلك صريحا في القرآن، قال الله جل وعلا: لا يستوي منكم من أنفق من قبل الفتح وقاتل، أولئك أعظم درجة من الذين أنفقوا من بعد وقاتلوا، وكلا وعد الله الحسنى، والله بما تعملون خبير. فإذن الصحابة رضي الله تعالى عنهم ليسوا كلهم على جهة سواء، فمنهم من كان من العلماء الكبار، ومنهم من كان في رتبة كما نسميه نحن طلبة العلم في مقارنة بغيرهم. فعبد الله بن عباس رضي الله تعالى عنه أخذ العلم عن بعض أصحاب النبي عليه الصلاة والسلام، أخذ عن عبد الله بن مسعود، وأخذ عن غيره من أصحاب النبي عليه الصلاة والسلام. فكان منهم من هم كبار كأبي بكر رضي الله تعالى عنه، وعمر، وعثمان، وأضرابهم رضي الله تعالى عنهم. ثم قال: لكنما الصديق منهم أفضل، يعني الصديق هو أفضل أصحاب النبي عليه الصلاة والسلام. وهنا قوله منهم أي يعني من هنا تبعيضية، الصديق المقصود به أبو بكر رضي الله تعالى عنه، هو يعتبر أفضل أصحاب النبي عليه الصلاة والسلام، وهذا بالإجماع كما ذكره ونقله النووي وغيره. جاء عن جمع من السلف النقل على أن الصديق هو أفضل أصحاب النبي عليه الصلاة والسلام بعد النبي عليه الصلاة والسلام. وتسميته رضي الله تعالى عنه وتلقيبه بالصديق لم يثبت، يعني ماذا أن السبب في ذلك ما ذكره أهل التاريخ في قضية الإسراء، أنه أن المشركين جاءوا إلى النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم وقالوا أو جاءوا إلى أبي بكر رضي الله عنه وقالوا: يا أبا بكر، إن صاحبك يزعم أنه قد أسري به إلى بيت المقدس في ليلة، ونحن نذهب في شهر ونعود في شهر، وهو يزعم أنه أسري به إلى بيت المقدس. فقال: أو قال ذلك؟ قالوا: نعم. قال: إني لأصدقه في نبأ السماء الذي يأتي في غدوة وروحة، أو كما قال رحمه الله رضي الله عنه، فسمي بعد ذلك بالصديق. هذا لم يثبت من جهة الإسناد، لكن معناه صحيح، معناه صحيح. وتسمية أبي بكر رضي الله عنه بالصديق لما جاء عند البخاري من حديث أنس رضي الله عنه أن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم صعد على أحد، هو وأبو بكر وعمر وعثمان، فرجف بهم أحد، فقال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم: أثبت أحد، فما عليك إلا نبي وصديق وشهيدان. ففي هذا الحديث وصف أبي بكر رضي الله عنه بالصديق، لأن عمر وعثمان ماتا قتلا، وهذا دليل على أنه لم يبقى إلا أبو بكر لينال وصف الصديقية، وهذا أمر مجمع عليه. نعم،
أحسن الله إليكم. Our Shaykh Allah Ta'ala began this class praising Allah Azza wa Jal, him and him alone, invoking his salat and salam upon the Messenger and all of his companions. He then said that we are continuing our reading and explanation of the Islamiyya, the poem attributed to Shaykh al-Islam ibn Taymiyyah rahimahullah. And in our last class, we stopped off on the third line of the poem, which says that loving the companions, all of them without exception, is for me a school of doctrine. And love of the nearest ones do I seek as a means of nearness to Allah. So that is where we stopped off in our last class. We'll pick up today with the fourth line of the poem, in which the author Allah says, وَلِكُلِّهِمْ قَدْرٌ عَلَى وَفَضَائِلُ. And there are different versions of this text. Perhaps the one that is present with the readers and translated has a slightly different wording with a similar meaning. And every one of them has a station and a shining excellence. Or, as in the version or the wording mentioned by the Sheikh, to each of them belongs a virtue, a high virtue, or a high status and virtues. However, amongst them, as-Siddiq, the truthful one, is the most excellent. So this is the fourth line of the poem. And the Sheikh Allah said what the author rahimahullah was getting at in this line. After talking about the Sahaba, mentioning that his stance of loving all of the companions of the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam was part of his aqidah and something that he sought to get closer to Allah through. After mentioning that, he mentioned here in this fourth line of the poem that all of the companions of the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam, all of them are virtuous, all of them have virtue. However, they fluctuate within their virtue, as some of them are better than others. And may Allah be pleased with all of them, as they are all good, but some are better than others. So from amongst them we find those who are the major scholars, the ones who really had lots of knowledge and are what we would call major scholars. And from amongst the Sahaba, there are those who are not quite at that same level. We have in the Sahih, on the authority of Ibn Umar, radiallahu anhuma, who said that we used to, during the time of the Prophet, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, consider some of the Sahaba to be more virtuous than others. And so we used to say, the best of this Ummah, after its Prophet, is Abu Bakr, and then Umar, and then Uthman. And this statement of ours would reach the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and he would not reject this. He would not speak out against what we had said. And this is reported in Sahih al-Bukhari as well as al-Tirmidhi. And it's well known that the people who witnessed and were present at and fought in the Battle of Badr are better than those who are not present at this virtuous battle, and that those who were present from amongst the people who gave their pledge of allegiance to the Prophet ﷺ under the tree, and the allegiance known as the allegiance of pleasure, because Allah stated in the Quran that He was pleased with all of those who did it, that they are better than those who were not present at that occasion. As Allah Azza wa Jalla mentions clearly in His book, لا يستوي منكم من أنفق من قبل الفتح وقاتل. They are not equal from amongst you those who spent their wealth before the conquest, meaning the conquest of Mecca, and those who fought. أولئك أعظم درجة من الذين أنفقوا من بعد وقاتلوا. Those, they are better in rank than those who spent their wealth after the conquest and fought. وَكُلُّهُ عَلَى اللَّهُ الْحُسْنَى وَاللَّهُ بِمَا تَعْمَلُونَ خَبِيرٌ. And Allah has promised good to all of them, and Allah is well aware of everything that you do. The point is that when speaking about the companions of the Master sallallahu alaihi wasallam, may Allah be pleased with all of them, we must take into consideration that they are not all of equal status. Some of them are better than others. So some of them are what we would call from the major scholars, and some of them, in our modern day terminology, are what we would call students of knowledge. So we have the likes of Abdullah ibn Abbas, radiallahu anhuma, who took knowledge from some of the companions, the likes of Abdullah ibn Mas'ud, and other than him. So they were the students of the major scholars, the likes of Abu Bakr, Umar ibn Uthman. So the author, rahimahullah, said, to each of them, meaning each of the Sahaba, there is a high virtue and or a high status and virtues. However, a Siddiq amongst them is the best. He is the most excellent. So when talking about the Sahaba, we say that all of them are good. All of them have virtue. The most virtuous amongst them, however, is a Siddiq. And who is meant by a Siddiq is none other than Abu Bakr, radiallahu anhu. That is, that he is the best of all of these Sahaba. And there is an ijma' on this, a mutual consensus amongst the scholars and the early generations of the Muslims, as was reported by An-Nawawi rahimahullah and other than him, who said that a number of the Salaf all mutually considered Abu Bakr to be the best of this Ummah after its Prophet, salawatullahi wasalamu alayhi. As for the name or this title that Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu is given, the title of As-Siddiq that is given to Abu Bakr, there are some historical reports mentioned by the historians that are not authentic. That is, after the occasion of Al-Isra, after the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam miraculously traveled to Bayt al-Maqdis, to Jerusalem, and after that to the heavens, some of the polytheists came to Abu Bakr, who had not yet heard the news of this from the Prophet ﷺ. They came to him and said that your companion claims that he has traveled to Jerusalem in one night, that he has gone and returned in one single night, and it takes us a month to make this journey. What do you say about him? And Abu Bakr said in response, essentially the meaning of his response was, and if he has said it, then I believe what he says. The reports, the historical reports of this happening, of this encounter between the polytheist and Abu Bakr, and his response being this, in the books of history, are not, they do not have an authentic chain of narration. However, the meaning of his response is something correct. Also, and so, this reason for him being given the title As-Siddiq, because of giving this response after the incident of Al-Isra, then this cannot be considered something authentic as far as the chain of narration. However, we do have a second incident, a hadith of the Prophet ﷺ, in which he is described as As-Siddiq, and where he is given this title. And that is the hadith in Sahih Bukhari on the authority of Anas radiallahu anhu, who said that the Prophet ﷺ ascended the mountain of Uhud, and along with him were Abu Bakr, Umar, and Uthman radiallahu anhu. The mountain began to shake while they were upon it, and the Prophet ﷺ said, "Stay firm, O Uhud, because there is no one on you except a prophet, a Siddiq, a truthful one, and two martyrs." Here the Prophet ﷺ said that there were only four people on the mountain. One was a prophet, one was a Siddiq, a truthful person, and two were martyrs. And it's well known that those who died as martyrs, those who were killed, were Umar and Uthman, that Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu died a natural death. And so the ones who were martyrs, who were killed, were Umar and Uthman, which leaves none other than Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu to be the one who received this title of As-Siddiq. Tafadhal Shaykhna.
Barakallahu fikum wa naf'allahu bikum. Wa hadha al-bayt ولكلهم قدر على وفضائل ذكر في بعض النسخ بلفظ آخر وهو قولهم ولكلهم قدر وفضل ساطع لكن هذا المثبت أحسن المثبت هذا أحسن ثم قال بعد ذلك رحمه الله وأقول في القرآن ما جاءت به آياته فهو الكريم المنزل وأقول في القرآن ما جاءت به آياته فهو الكريم المنزل قول أقول في القرآن أقول هنا بمعنى أعتقد في القرآن ما جاء صريحا أيضا في القرآن وابتدأ بذكر القرآن الكريم لأنه الأصل في الوحي ووصفه بأنه الكريم المنزل جاء ذلك في قوله سبحانه إنه لقرآن كريم في كتاب مكنون لا يمسه إلا المطهرون تنزيل من رب العالمين فهذا فيه بيان على أن القرآن أو كأنه رحمه الله يقول أنا أبني اعتقادي على القرآن ولا يحل أن يعتقد الإنسان شيئا إلا أن يكون القرآن والسنة قد أتيا به فيما يتعلق بذات الله أو ما يتعلق أيضا كذلك بأمر اليوم الآخر أو ما يتعلق بالملائكة إلى غير ذلك من الاعتقاد وهذا نص منه رحمه الله أن القرآن العظيم منزل من عند الله جل وعلا فهو كلامه سبحانه المنزل الذي نكتبه وأيضا كذلك نقرأه فكأنه رحمه الله يشير إلى أمر مهم وهو أنه لا ينبغي للإنسان أن يعتقد إلا ما جاء في القرآن جاء في بعض النسخ فهو القديم المنزل وما يعني أثبتناه في هذه اللفظ الأول هو أولى لأن الله جل وعلا يقول إنه لقرآن كريم ولفظ القديم مخالف لما كما قرره أيضا شيخ الإسلام تيمية رحمه الله في أكثر من موضع، وهو الطريقة التي درج عليها المتكلمون، يعني وصف القرآن وصف القرآن بالقديم، هذا لا يجوز بهذا المعنى الذي هو يستعمله المتكلمون. وهذا مما يدلنا على أن هذه اللامية يعني هي مشهورة أنها من كلام شيخ الإسلام ابن تيمية رحمه الله، لكن كثير من أهل العلم يقول أنها ليست له، لكن سواء كانت له أو لغيره فهي فيها حق وفيها اعتقاد صحيح، وإن كان في بعض الألفاظ والنسخ التي تحتاج إلى تنبيه مثل هذه. نعم،
أحسن الله إليكم. The next line of the poem we find, after the mention of each one of the Sahaba having a high station and many virtues, but the Siddiq being the best from amongst them. The fifth line of the poem is, وَأَقُولُ فِي الْقُرْآنِ مَا جَاءَتْ بِهِ, and I say regarding the Qur'an only that which has come. آيَاتُهُ فَهُوَ الْكَرِيمُ الْمُنْزَلُ, and its verses, for it is the noble revelation. The part that says, I say regarding the Qur'an, means I believe regarding the Qur'an. And our belief about the Qur'an must be based upon what is mentioned in the Qur'an itself, because it is the foundation of revelation. And describing the Qur'an itself with the description of Kareem, it being a noble revelation. This is something which Allah Azza wa Jalla himself describes it with in his book. And he says, إِنَّهُ لَقُرْآنٌ كَرِيمٌ, certainly it is a noble Qur'an. فِي كِتَابٍ مَكْنُونٌ, in a preserved book. لَا يَمَسُهُ إِلَّا الْمُطَحَرُونَ, no one except those who are pure touch it. تَنْزِيلٌ مِنْ رَبِّ الْعَالَمِينَ, revelation from the Lord of Al-Alameen, everything in existence. So when the author rahimahullah said, I say concerning the Qur'an, what its verses, to say that I am basing my belief about the book of Allah. My belief about the Qur'an is built upon and finds its foundation in that which is mentioned in the Qur'an itself. As it's not permissible to hold any belief about one's aqidah except that it finds its evidence in the Qur'an. In fact, any of the affairs of the religion about Allah himself, or about the last day, or about the angels, it's not permissible for a Muslim to hold beliefs about any of these affairs except that we find evidence for them in the Qur'an and or the Sunnah. When it comes to our belief in the Qur'an and the revelation which is present and written, this is a belief. Our belief about the Qur'an is that that which is written in the books, that which is recited, all of this is to can be considered from the Qur'an. There are some of the manuscripts that have a slightly different wording than this, which instead of describing the Qur'an with Al-Karimun Munzalu, it's also in some manuscripts described with Al-Qadim Al-Munzalu. So instead of being described as the noble revelation, some manuscripts say that it is the ancient revelation. And what we have preferred, describing it with the noble revelation instead of the ancient revelation, is more correct. That is because Allah Azza wa Jalla himself describes the Qur'an as Kareem, describes it as a noble revelation. And as for describing the Qur'an as Qadim, or something ancient, this contradicts part of what Shaykh al-Islam rahimahullah has mentioned in several of his writings. And also, this agrees with the philosophers, the people of rhetoric, who are far from the truth when it comes to their beliefs. And it's most commonly cited or believed that this poem, the Lamia, is from the writings of Shaykh al-Islam ibn Taymiyyah rahimahullah. However, we find that many of the people of knowledge deny this and say that the poem was not of his writings, that it was attributed to him, but not actually from his writings. Whatever the case may be, there are certain points found in manuscripts like this that do need to be paid attention to. تفضل الشيخ.
بارك الله فيكم. وقوله رحمه الله في هذا البيت وأقول في القرآن ما جاءت به آياته فهو الكريم المنزل أراد به رحمه الله أنه يستدل على القرآن بالقرآن. يستدل بالقرآن على القرآن، وهكذا أيضا يستدل بالسنة كذلك على القرآن. ووصف القرآن هنا بأنه الكريم، الكريم هنا بمعنى الشريف، بمعنى الشريف، كأنه يقول أن القرآن ذو شرف ومكانة عظيمة، وإن كان الله سبحانه وتعالى أنزله إلينا فلأجل أننا نستدل به. لذلك قال بعد هذا مباشرة وأقول قال الله جل جلاله والمصطفى الهادي ولا أتأول، يعني لما قال في بدء البيت الذي قبله وأقول في القرآن ما جاءت به آياته، فكيف يقول، يعني كيف يعتقد، أي أعتقد ما قاله الله وقاله رسول الله صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وسلم، يعني أستدل بالقرآن والسنة على ما جاء به أو على ما جاء في القرآن. وأقول قال الله جل جلاله والمصطفى الهادي ولا أتأول. ووصف النبي عليه الصلاة والسلام بالهادي لأنه هو الذي هدى إلى الله جل وعلا، ووصفه ربه سبحانه وتعالى فقال وإنك لتهدي إلى صراط مستقيم، يعني الرسول صلى الله عليه وسلم هو الذي هدى الأمة ودلها على ربها سبحانه وتعالى. وقال هنا ولا أتأول بمعنى لا أحرف المعنى ولا أغير اللفظ المراد به ولا أصرف اللفظ عن معناه المناسب له الذي رضيه الله ورضيه رسول الله صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وسلم. نعم.
أحسن الله إليكم. After mentioning this in the poem, the author, Allah, after mentioning that I say, meaning I believe, regarding the Qur'an, only that which has come and its verses, for it is the noble revelation, which essentially means I'm using what is found in the Qur'an to form the basis of my belief in the Qur'an. That is, the Qur'an itself finds the evidence for my belief about this book. After that, he goes on to say, the same goes for the Sunnah, that likewise, just as my beliefs about the religion and about the Qur'an come from the Qur'an itself, they also come from the Sunnah. When describing the Qur'an as Al-Kareem, or that it is a noble revelation, it's meant that it has a high, lofty status, and that Allah sent it down so that we could use it as the foundation of our belief. Directly after this, in the sixth line of the poem, he said, رَحِمَهُ اللَّهُ قَالَ اللَّهُ جَلَّ جَلَالُهُ. And I say, Allah, the Mighty and Majestic, has said, المصطفى الهادي ولا أتأول. And likewise, the chosen one, meaning the prophet, said, and I do not explain away their speech. As for describing the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam with al-Hadi, that he is the one who guides, then certainly this is also something that finds its foundation in the Book of Allah. When Allah said, addressing His Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam, وَإِنَّكَ لَتَهْدِي إِلَى صِرَاطٍ مُسْتَقِيمٍ, certainly you guide to a straight path. The Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam, without a doubt, was the one who guided people to the path of Allah. And so he guided his ummah to their Lord. So he said, I say, Allah, the Mighty and Majestic, said, and likewise the chosen one, al-Mustafa, the one who guides, said, and I do not explain away their speech. Meaning that whenever we find an apparent wording of something in the Quran or the Sunnah, we do not try to explain that away and interpret it to mean something which is not pleasing to Allah or His Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Tafadhal Sheikh.
نعم بارك الله فيكم. ثم قال رحمه الله بعد ذلك, قال وجميع آيات الصفات أمرها حقا كما نقل الطراز الأول. وجميع آيات الصفات أمرها حقا كما نقل الطراز الأول. هذا البيت كان كالتوضيح, كان هذا البيت كالتوضيح لقوله ولا أتأول. قال في البيت السابق ولا أتأول, ثم قال وجميع آيات الصفات, بمعنى أن عدم التأويل بحيث أني أمر هذه الآيات على المعنى الذي جاءت به, وهذا المعنى الذي جاء به هو ما فهمه أصحاب النبي عليه الصلاة والسلام بقوله حقا كما نقل الطراز الأول, لأن هناك ألفاظ وردت في القرآن يستعملها العرب في معان أخرى غير المعاني التي عرفت عن السلف. ولذلك الفيصل والميزان في المعنى المراد الذي أراده الله جل وعلا هو فهم أصحاب النبي عليه الصلاة والسلام. فعلى سبيل المثال لفظ اليد, لفظ اليد يأتي بالمعنى أنه اليد الحقيقية, ويأتي أيضا بمعنى النعمة. ونحن كيف نستطيع أن نرجح ما المراد بقوله سبحانه وتعالى لما خلقت بيدي, لما جاء العتاب من الله جل وعلا لإبليس في عدم سجوده, عاتبه الله سبحانه وتعالى وقال ما منعك أن تسجد إذ أمرتك, وجاء في, 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 في آية أخرى لما خلقت بيدي. ففي هذه الآية نحن لا نستطيع أن نفهم المعنى إلا كما فهمه الطراز الأول, يعني المراد بالطراز الأول هم السلف الصالحون رضي الله تعالى عنهم. فكان هذا البيت بمثابة الإيضاح لمعنى التأويل, أو نفي التأويل, أعني بمعنى نفي التأويل. كيف ينفي التأويل؟ أنه يمر هذه الآيات وهذه الصفات كما أمرها, كما يعني جاءت معانيها منقولة عن السلف رضي الله تعالى عنهم, بغير أن يقحم المعاني الباطلة. طيب, لأن التأويل هو صرف اللفظ عن معناه الحقيقي الذي أراده الله جل وعلا. والمراد أني لا أحرف المعنى الذي جاءت في هذه الآيات والمعنى الذي اعتمده السلف رضي الله تعالى عنهم من أصحاب النبي عليه الصلاة والسلام. ووصفهم بالطراز, المراد بالطراز الشيء الحسن الجميل, المراد بالطراز الشيء الحسن الجميل، وكأنه يقول كما نقل أحسن الناس، كما نقل أحسن الناس يعني ماذا؟ نعم، يكون المراد بالطراز الأول يعني أحسن الناس وأجملهم نقلا، وهم السلف رضي الله تعالى عنهم. نعم،
أحسن إليكم. In the following verse we find وَجَمِيعُ آيَاتِ الصِّفَاتِ أُمِرُّهَا. In all of the verses of the attributes I pass them on. حَقًّا كَمَا نَقَرَ الطِّرَازَ الْأَوَّلُ. In truth, just as the first and best of generations has transmitted without explaining them away. This essentially, that is, affirming that our beliefs are not something that we explain away and alter the meanings of, is an explanation to what was previously mentioned of the belief in the Quran, that we are not to perform ta'wil, or explaining the meanings away and changing them from their apparent meaning. When we have the meaning of a verse and it was understood in a certain way by its first audience, those who it was revealed amongst, that is, the companions of the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam, when we find that they had a particular understanding of an ayah, we must assume that their understanding was correct, and anything other than that is incorrect. And thus we find, as is mentioned here, all the verses and of the attributes, I pass them on, حقاً, in truth, كما نقر الطراز الأول, just as the first and best of generations have transmitted them. The reason why we must make this clarification is that there are certain words that are used in the Quran, and they have more than one context. They may be understood in more than one way. However, the criterion that we use to distinguish the correct understanding of the Quran, of what is meant, even if one of the words in the Quran is understood, it may be understood in a different way. The context in which we must understand it in the Quran is the same way that it was understood by the Sahaba radiallahu anhu. For example, the Arabic word al-yad, or which may be translated as a hand. Sometimes it literally means a hand, like a person has hands. At other times, however, this word al-yad can mean a blessing. How is it that we can understand which one of the two meanings is meant in the Quran? When Allah Azza wa Jal rebuked Iblis for refusing to bow down to مَا خَلَقْتُ بِيَدَيْ, what I have created with my hand, or with both of my hands. Are we to understand that this means that Allah has hands, or are we to understand that Allah is rebuking Iblis for refusing to bow down to what he created with his blessings? Which one of these are we to understand? Also, we have elsewhere in the Quran, مَنَعَكَ أَن تَسْتُرِ إِذْ أَمَرْتُكَ. Why is it that you have refused, or what has prevented you from prostrating when I have commanded to you? And elsewhere, لِمَا خَرَقْتُ بِيَرَيْ, what has prevented you from prostrating to that which I have created with my two hands. Our understanding of whether or not what is meant here is a blessing or a hand must conform to the understanding of the Sahaba. They are the ones whose understanding draws the line between truth and falsehood when it comes to the meanings of the Quran. So they are the ones who passed on their understanding to the following generations. And thus they are described in the poem as الطراز الأول. طراز, the word طراز, has been described as the first and best of generations in the translation of the poem. And this, without doubt, is referring to the first of the generations, meaning our pious predecessors from amongst the Sahaba. And it also refutes those who would like to interpret, explain away, or distort the meanings of what has been in the Quran by understanding them in a way other than what the Sahaba understood these words from the Quran to mean. So anytime we have part of the revelation, something that is mentioned in the Quran, and the Salaf had an understanding thereof, it's not permissible for us to try to understand it in a different way, understand it in a different light, or interpret it away to mean something else. So whenever we have an apparent meaning, even if that word, like the word yad, can mean an actual hand or can mean a blessing, we are not allowed to go take the metaphorical meaning and throw away the literal meaning when the Sahaba, we find, were adhering to and took their belief to be the literal meaning. And this is something that Allah Azza wa Jalla has revealed in its literal meaning. So we can't throw that understanding away and go to something else. So when the Salaf and the Sahaba had an understanding of something, they were the first and the best of generations. And the description given to them as being Itiraz, or the first of generations, literally Itiraz is something beautiful. So it's as if we're saying, not only are they the first and the most correct ones to understand, but their understanding was a beautiful and correct understanding of the revelation. Tafadhal Sheikh.
Barakallahu feekum. أنا أرى أنه نكتفي إن شاء الله بهذا. بارك الله فيكم، جزاكم الله خير، إن شاء الله الأسبوع القابل بإذن الله نتم.
أي نعم شيخنا،
الله بارك فيك، إن شاء الله نكتفي بهذا.
أي نعم، خلاص بإذن الله الأسبوع القادم إن شاء الله تعالى. بارك الله يحفظكم شيخنا. السلام عليكم.
السلام عليكم ورحمة الله جميعا.
أبشر إن شاء الله. عليكم السلام ورحمة الله وبركاته. And the Sheikh extends his salams to everyone listening.